Well, good morning and welcome to online worship for Lakeside Church of the Brethren today, Mother's Day, May 10th. We're glad you came. I'm Christian Becker and I greet you today in Jesus' name. Jesus promised that where two or three are gathered together in my name, he said, I'm with them. Right now we can only meet online and I'm glad that you're here. A couple of announcements. First, please be sure to tell folks you know about the sermon section on our church's website where we post these services. And if you have Facebook, remember to share the announcement on the church's Facebook page to your page by clicking on the share button there at the bottom. If you haven't liked our Facebook page, please look it up and like it. Hundreds of folks are connected to our church there. We can use it to post encouragement, communicate with each other. So let me know if I can help you set it up or if you have any questions with it. Also, remember to stay in touch over the phone and Facebook and to check up on each other and your neighbors. Now's a good time to send a card in the mail, a letter of encouragement. Remember, folks, we're Lakeside Church, and we pray for and encourage each other. Also, you can send me a message through the Facebook or website. Call me if you have a prayer request. We do miss seeing you all, and while this situation lasts, remember to stay in touch. Remember to pray for our leaders and those that are ill, our community, our church family. All right, now let's worship our great Savior and God. The Bible says, praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. I want to invite you to lift your voice and praise to our God today as we sing the hymn, All Power, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
Thank you.
Would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we bless your name in the name of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. We're grateful today for the power in the name of Jesus, the power to cleanse us from sin and to bring peace to our hearts. We lift our hearts in unison today and ask that you would heal our land. Thank you that nothing in all of creation, much less a virus, can separate us from your love. As we turn our hearts toward you and turn our eyes to your word, please meet with us and encourage us and inspire us. We pray again for all those in authority over us, our president, his advisors, our governors, our elected representatives. Lord, we pray that you would give them your wisdom. Pray for protection for all the medical personnel, the first responders, those in the front lines of healthcare. We pray for your healing for those who have become ill. Pray for grace for those who have had to give up loved ones and are grieving. And we pray also grace for ourselves today. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. While we're unable to meet together, I want to thank you for continuing to support Lakeside Church with the Lord's tithes and your offerings. The Bible reminds us to honor the Lord with your wealth and bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. Part of our worship when we meet is singing your doxology while we present the Lord's tithes and our offerings. And even though we're not together in the church building, I want to invite you to sing along like we were. Before we turn to the Word of God, would you join me again as we briefly talk again to the God of the Word? Lord God, we thank you today for our mothers, and that whether our relationship with them was good or difficult, you used it to bring us to where we are in life today. Thank you for that. I thank you that I had a mother who taught me to trust in Jesus and led me by her example. Lord, as we now turn to your holy word, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mom and Dad are watching TV late one night when Mom says, "You know what, I'm tired, honey. I think I'll go to bed." And so she goes to the kitchen and she makes sandwiches for the next day's lunches. She rinses out the popcorn bowls. She takes meat out of the freezer for supper tomorrow. And then she checks the cereal box's levels, fills the sugar bowl, sets the table for breakfast, and gets the coffee pot for brewing the next morning. And then she puts some wet clothes in the dryer, a load of clothes into the washer. She irons a shirt and sews on a loose button. She picks up the newspaper strewn across the floor, and she puts her phone in the charger. She waters the plants, empties the waste basket, and hangs up the towel to dry. She yawns and stretches, and then she heads for the bedroom. She stops at the desk and writes a note to a teacher. She counts out some cash for the field trip and pulls a school book out from under the chair. She signs a birthday card for a friend, addresses and stamps the envelope and jots down a quick list for the grocery store. She puts both near her purse. Mom then goes into the bathroom and she creams her face. She puts on moisturizer. She brushes and flosses her teeth and trims her nails. Dad calls out, "Hey, I thought you were going to bed." "I'm on my way," she says. She puts water in the dog dish, lets the cat out, and makes sure the doors are all locked. She looks in on each child. She turns out a light, hangs up a shirt, throws some dirty socks in a hamper, and then speaks briefly with the one child still up doing homework. In her own room, she sets the alarm, lays out clothing for the next day, and straightens up the shoe rack. Then she adds three things to her to-do list for tomorrow. About that time, Dad turns off the TV and announces to no one in particular, "I'm going to bed." And that's exactly what he does. You know, the home and family are mom's passion, aren't they? Some of you have had a great mom like that, and it's appropriate, I think, to honor our mothers today. Today we're going to turn in our Bibles to the Old Testament book of 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 8 through 37. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 to 37. You know, the New Testament tells us that the Old Testament people that we read about there, they were recorded as examples for us. And here we find an example of a great woman and a mother. The Bible says in verse 8, one day Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. Now this woman's example shows us three qualities that make a woman great in God's sight. And as you'll see, these qualities are good for a man, a student, or anyone else to have as well. Now, I keep calling her a great woman. That's because the Bible calls her great. Now, you might say, well, where does it call her that? Right there in verse 8. The words well-to-do translate a Hebrew word that can mean great, like a great leader, or prominent, or important. And I believe the translators of the NIV chose well-to-do because that appears to be the case from the story. However, in my opinion, a better translation would be important. Now, the King James uses the word great, which kind of sounds odd to our 21st century ears, but I think by the time we finish, you'll agree that this was indeed a great woman. You know, whenever God calls someone great or important, we need to see what we can learn from them. If you want to please God, then study the lives of those who are great in God's sight. See what truths, what principles for living you can learn from them and apply to your own life. Now, the first quality that we see here that makes a person great in God's sight is caring about God's program. Caring about God's program. In other words, what's important to God is important to you. Consider with me the Shunammite woman's compassion. The Bible says one day Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us. Now let me give you a little background here. Back then, Israel was under the rule of King Joram. Joram was the son of wicked King Ahab and his notorious wife, Jezebel. Israel had a pagan, secular society at that time where the things of God were not important to most of its citizens. Kind of reminds you of America today. And that's why the Shunammite woman stood out. The year was about 895 BC. It was about 1 year after the prophet Elijah had ascended to heaven. During this time, the prophets traveled throughout the nation, calling the land back to the Lord. Elisha was a pastor, prophet, teacher, an advisor to the king, and the prophets Jonah and Amos grew up during his ministry, and Elisha may have taught them. Now, the city of Shunem was in the tribe of Issachar, southwest of the Sea of Galilee, and that's where this great unnamed woman lived. Because of her faith in God, she cared about God's servant and his need for food and lodging, and she cared enough to get involved and do something. So she spoke to her husband, and they prepared a room for Elisha. Now, of course, Elisha not only benefited from this, but the woman and her husband grew spiritually as a result of spending time with the prophet. Let me ask you, what do you care about? What do you care about? Does your passion go beyond your interests and include what's important to God? If so, you are pleasing to God and I commend you. If not, what can you do that's comparable to what this woman did? Now, I can't answer that for you. But ask yourself, what does God want me to do? Where could I get involved? How important is that? Well, much of what happens in church wouldn't happen without the help of godly volunteers. And if you're one of those volunteers, I want to say thank you. Thank you for all that you do. And men, let me ask you a question. Do you encourage your wife and lead her in spiritual things? Or do you think that if you provide a home and pay the bills, you're doing all that God expects of you? A wife and mother has one of the toughest jobs in the world. She needs your help to get involved in spiritual things. The story goes that one day a man spotted an unusual lamp by the side of the road. He picked it up and he rubbed off some dirt on it, and poof, a genie appeared. The genie said, I'll grant you your fondest wish. The man thought for a moment, and then he said, well, I'd like to have an important job, a job that no man has ever succeeded at or has ever been able to do. Poof, the genie said, you're a housewife. Men, your wife needs help sometime so she can go to a Bible study, read her Bible, or attend a woman's retreat. Will you help? Part of the reason the Shunammite woman was great is because she had a husband who supported her in spiritual things. Now, some husbands may have responded differently than her husband. They might have said, are you crazy? Build an extra room just for when the prophet comes? Do you know how much that'll cost? We're going to have to take it out of our retirement savings. And then what will we have to show for it? Men, remember that your wife can be great in God's sight without your help, but she can be even greater if you lead and support her in spiritual growth. And she's hoping that you will. So the first quality that makes a person or anyone great in God's sight is that you care about God's program. The second quality that makes a person great is contentment with God's provision. Contentment with God's provision. In other words, you're not envious of others and what they have. This Shunammite woman is content with what she has. The Bible says, beginning in verse 11, 2 Kings 4, one day when Elisha came, he went up to his room and he lay down there. He said to his servant Gehazi, call the Shunammite. So he called her and she stood before him. Elisha said to him, tell her, you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can we have done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army? She replied, I have a home among my own people. What can be done for her? Elisha asked. Gehazi said, well, she has no son, and her husband is old. Then Elisha said, call her. So he called her, and she stood in the doorway. About this time next year, Elisha said, you will hold a son in your arms. No, my lord, she objected. Don't mislead your servant, O man of God. But the woman became pregnant, and the next year, about that same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her. This woman's service to God was genuine. Some people serve God and others, but only for what they can get in return, some blessing or a favor. Here she had the opportunity to receive something in return for her ministry, but she refused to ask. Here was an advisor of the king. She could ask for help with a problem neighbor or maybe a winter condo in Jerusalem. And her reply echoed the contentment in her heart. She replied in verse 13, I have a home among my own people. In other words, she lived in peace. Her contentment opened the door for God to bless her in a way that rewarded her and brought glory to God also. God honored her contentment. You see, God knew the desire of her heart without her even having to ask. You can tell from her reaction in verse 16 when she said, no, my Lord, don't mislead your servant, O man of God. That shows that it was what she longed for and hoped for but had given up on. Remember, Jesus said that some things are impossible for man, but they're possible with God. Let me ask you this. Are you content or are you a complainer? Remember, when you grumble and complain, it's against God. It's against the very one who alone has the power to bring blessing in your life. The Bible teaches us in 1 Timothy 6 that godliness with contentment is a great gain. The lesson there is that if you put God first, if you're content with what you have, God will reward you beyond your greatest expectations. Remember that the psalmist said in Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you what? He'll give you the desires of your heart. Jesus said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So the first quality that makes you great in God's sight is that you care about God's program. The second quality that makes you great is that you're content with God's provision. The third and final quality that we see here that you need to be great in God's sight is that you have confidence in God's power. Confidence in his power. You know what he can do. We see here in this story the Shunammite's confidence in a crisis. She's confident even when things go wrong. The Bible says that the child grew, and one day he went out with his father, who was with the reapers. My head, he said to his father. His father told the servant, carry him to his mother. After the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat in her lap until noon, and then he died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and then shut the door and went out. She called her husband, and she said, please send me one of the servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God quickly and return. Well, why go to him today, he asked. It's not the new moon or the Sabbath. It's all right, she said. She saddled the donkey, and she said to her servant, lead on. Don't slow down for me unless I tell you. So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When he saw her in the distance, the man of God said to his servant Gehazi, look, there's the Shunammite. Run to meet her and ask her, are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right? Everything is all right, she said. When she had reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. Gehazi came over to push her away, but the man of God said, leave her alone. She is in bitter distress, but the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why. Did I ask you for a son, my Lord? She said. Didn't I tell you don't raise my hopes? Elisha said to Gehazi, tuck your cloak into your belt, take my staff in your hand and run. If you meet anyone, do not greet him, and if anyone greets you, do not answer. Lay my staff on the boy's face. But the child's mother said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. And so he got up and followed her. Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. So Gehazi went back to meet Elisha and told him, the boy is not awakened. When Elisha reached the house, there was the boy lying dead on his couch. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed and lay upon the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. As he stretched himself out upon him, the boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room, and then got on the bed and stretched out upon him once more. The boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. And he did. When she came, he said, take your son. She came in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. And then she took her son and went out. Okay, let's review what we know. This is an example of a godly family, pleasing God, and yet tragedy strikes. And what does this godly woman do? She doesn't complain to God. First, she does all she can. The Bible says after the servant lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon. But then her worst fear is realized. It says then he died. When that happens, she knows what she must do. Her calmness shows that this was not an act of panic or of desperation, but an act of faith. And this faith was not spur-of-the-moment, flash-in-the-pan faith. Her confidence clearly grew out of a quiet, strong, mature faith in God. She had developed her faith. Now, her husband's response is interesting. Verses 22 and 23, it says she called her husband and said, please send me one of the servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God quickly and return. Why go to him today? He asked. It's not the new moon or the Sabbath. It's all right, she said. Some people think God is only for holy days. They're called C&E Christians, Christmas and Easter. But here was a woman that was an everyday believer. Her response speaks volumes about her faith and her confidence in God. She literally said the word shalom, peace, all is well. What faith! What faith she had. From her actions and words, it's clear that she knew that God's power gave her this child and that it was only by his power that he would live again. Remember, there were no EMTs, there were no doctors available. So what does she do? She goes to the MOG, the man of God, and it was probably about 20 miles. Again, her response confirms her confidence in God. Elisha's servant Gehazi comes to her and he basically says to her, Shalom, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? And she replies, Shalom, it is well. Her faith is a resurrection faith. And God uses Elisha to restore her son to her. This is one of just seven miraculous resurrections recorded in Scripture. Now, there are some skeptics who would say, well, the boy wasn't dead. But if you look at verse 34, it's very clear that his body was cold. Now, let me ask you this. What about you? What about you? What's your confidence in? When a crisis strikes, what do you do? You and I need to know our limitations. Many women today have tried to do and have it all, and that's called the superwoman syndrome. There's even books been written about it. You know, I can do everything I want. I am a W-O-M-A-N. But when crises come, you do all you can, and it's not enough. What then? I saw a sign once that said, so, I'm not a supermom. Adjust. Adjust. Man, this is for you too. We think I'm in control until things blow up in your face. Remember, it's only when you develop your relationship with God and his people you will have the resources you need to confront a crisis with confidence in God's power. And the result may surprise you, but God's power can and will see you through. It did for my family on a Labor Day weekend when I was only 3 years old. My family was moving across country from Wyoming so my father could take a new job back east, and we were towing a U-Haul trailer with an old Chevy trying to make it to Chicago to visit with some relatives. It was a dark and moonless night. Behind us, a young man and his girlfriend were joyriding in a sports car, and they plowed into the back of our trailer. The force of that impact pushed down on the hitch, and it raised the front wheels of the car off the road so my father couldn't steer it. On our right was a wall of rock, and on our left was a deep gully. As the car left the road and headed towards the gully, I will never forget my parents crying out to God, Oh Lord, deliver us! Moments later, the car came to rest upside down on its roof. I remember that the dome light was on and where the floor should be, and sand was falling down on top of us from where the floor was above us. My brother was sleeping in the back seat, and he was thrown out of the car to the highway. My mother's arm was pinned under the roof of the car. Dad had a deep gash in his hand from the steering wheel, and my left arm was broken. But we all survived. And there was no doubt in my mind what I should do in a crisis. Reach out to God. Call out to him, and he will bring you through with his power. You can be confident in him because he is faithful, and he's not going to lose his reputation on you or me. Now, I'm not just speaking to moms today. Do you want to be great in God's sight and please him? Then take a lesson from the Shunammite woman. God's idea of greatness involves more than just fulfilling our duty as a mom or a dad or a son or a daughter. Like this unnamed, simple woman of faith, do you care about God's program? Are you content with God's provision? Have you developed your faith so that you are confident in God's power? Be honest with yourself. Maybe you'd say to me, Brother Becker, these three qualities describe the desire of my heart. If so, then ask God to help you and decide in your heart to rearrange your priorities so you can please him. God won't do that for you. You have to do it. And it starts when you make Christ as your Lord. And that's as simple as ABC. A, admit that you're a sinner and turn from your sinful, self-serving ways and turn your eyes upon Jesus. And B, believe in him. Believe that he is your Lord and your God, that he died on the cross to save you from your sin and rose from the dead to give you new life. And C, confess him. Confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. And today you can become a child of God. Now, perhaps this is your first Mother's Day without your mom. She was an inspiration to you and your family. Maybe it's time for you to step forward and take her place. Will you be great for God? Maybe this Mother's Day makes your heart ache because you wish you were a mom and you're not. This was true of the Shunammite woman, if you remember. And the lesson that we learn from her is to wait for God and for His timing. Develop these three qualities that we saw today. Trust God. Remember what the psalmist said. Psalm 31 said, "My times are in your hand." Husbands, what about you? What are you doing to help your wife be a great woman for God? The first step is for you to be a great man for God. That involves putting God first in your life. Some of you haven't done that, but you know you need to. And it's hard for us men because we want to be first. But look at the mess we make by being first. God is calling you today to come to Him. For some, He is saying, "Come to me and trust me as your Lord and Savior." Others, He's calling you to recommit your life to Him. Maybe you trusted Him once, but you haven't been faithful. Maybe you're just a Christmas and Easter Christian. Put God in first place in your life again and be the spiritual leader in your home that God is calling you to be. Be an everyday Christian. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for the example of this unnamed woman of faith. As we live through the trials of each day in our lives, help each one listening to trust you more, to care more about your kingdom than our own selfish desires, to be content with your provision, and to have faith and confidence in your power to work in us, to work through us, and for our families and loved ones. I ask this in the name above all names, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Friend, God loves you. He always has, and He always will. He asks you to choose to serve Him. He promises that if you will come to Him, He will come to you. Only God can turn your life around. If you want the contentment and confidence of faith that we saw in the Shunammite woman, come to Jesus today. We're going to close with a song that's really a prayer. I invite you to make it your prayer and to sing it to the Lord. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee.
Take myself and
Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May God bless you and keep you, and Lord willing, I'll see you back here next week, or maybe at Lakeside Church of the Brethren soon. And remember, listen to the Bible. It's great for your soul.